It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a...
Josh Cohen and the home team.
You're listening to Josh Cohen and the home team, presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. It's a Twin Peaks Tuesday. Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge for eats, drinks, and scenic views. This is ESPN 106.3.
Party like a rock star and live the life of a legend, because every day above ground is a good day. Some are just better than others, and some are more interesting than others. And I assure you, whether you've been listening to this show since 1999 or you came on board last week, today will be one of the, if not the, most interesting days in the history of this show. And we will explain that to you coming up. I'm not going to make you wait till 5:59. We'll explain why that is and what that is coming up. But if you know anyone who is a former fan, friend, or hater of this show, or of me in particular, text them, call them, tell them, put it on ESPN 106.3 FM. You can watch us. You can watch us live on our YouTube channel, ESPN West Palm Play. Please do subscribe to that so you can watch us live. And also tell any smart speaker, any connected device, play ESPN West Palm, and we will stream live that way, as well as the ESPN app. I know there are people listening all around the country today and some around the world to hear what this significant news is. And like I said, we're not going to make them wait until the end of the show to share that. But we can't get to it just yet, Tina. Spicy, sassy, tiny Tina, what are you doing at the zoo with giant rodents? And I mean, the biggest. This is the biggest rodent on Earth?
The largest rodent in the world.
And what kind of animal is this again?
It's a capybara.
A capybara.
A capybara.
Look like a giant rat.
It kind of...
Look like Dean Thomas' Nightmare Fuel.
It's massive. It's about 115 pounds.
That's what she said.
His name is Zeus. And I got to hang with Zeus yesterday, the capybara.
115. I was 115 in the ninth grade.
Yeah, 115.
And 10th grade.
That's as large as they usually get. Yeah. But I got to hang out with Zeus at the Palm Beach Zoo yesterday.
Where can we watch that happen?
Where can you watch that at?
Oh, on our ESPN West Palm Play channel?
You can.
All right, do that.
Eventually.
C-Cat in the Hizow. Hey. It's a Twin Peaks Tuesday. Did you say hey?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. What's going on, C-Cat?
Not much. People are begging to know at the Monumental Show News. They're hopping in the YouTube chat.
Yeah, I don't know why you labeled the show Monumental News. It's probably not the terminology.
In all caps, too, Monumental.
Probably not the terminology I would have used.
Well, we'll fix it next time. No problem.
Yeah, but take it upon yourself with your Monumental News. Yeah, no, we have a major announcement, a very significant announcement, and we're going to get to that coming up, but you can participate in the YouTube chat, apparently. Are you yawning or celebrating?
No,
what are you jumping jacks?
No, I'm just excited to be here. I missed yesterday's show, so I'm happy to get back behind the mic.
He just had a big stretch. You missed it. That's what you heard when you thought he was yawning.
But don't you yawn when you stretch?
He went like that. But
don't you
stretching.
Yawn when you stretch? Don't
sometimes.
Can you stretch and not?
Yes.
Yeah, you kind of can, I guess.
Do you consider that a yawn, though, if you're stretching?
Know. Here's what I do know. Women's basketball had a night.
Ooh.
Women's basketball had a night. Angel Reese, Kaylin Clark, all the drama from last year. Remember how divisive it was at the end of that game when Angel Reese was doing the John Cena, you can't see me, you can't see me gesture. Mm-hmm. And she was pointing at her ring finger and she was taunting Kaylin Clark. Remember all that? Remember how divisive that became?
Yeah, she followed her around. Like when the game
followed
was over
her
and
around.
Done. Yeah. It was part of it too. Yeah.
And people did not like the visual. I'm all for celebrating. I've said that. I'm all in on celebration. And I'm all out on taunting. Bad things happen when you taunt people. They get punched. They get choked. Bad things happen. I don't like teaching young people examples of taunting. I do like teaching young people celebrate good stuff done with your teammates, directing it at the opposition and taunting them, that's C-Cat college baseball stuff.
Yeah.
That's Bush League. Mm. Bush League stuff.
Yeah, I mean, depending on who likes it. That's all. I kind of like it. I don't think taunting should be a penalty in the NFL. I love that taunting in the NFL. So it's different strokes, different folks.
It's a penalty for a reason, because it's bad for the league, and it also can cause problems where dudes then punch and choke and do the things that get them expelled from the game that are criminal behaviors. I don't think you should encourage taunting.
So you're punishing the reaction, because the reaction will be bad. That's why the initial act should be banned. That's what it sounds like.
Run that by me one more time.
You're punishing because of the reaction to a taunt. Because it can get you punched or choked or assaulted, you shouldn't do that initial action.
I think that if people wanted to see it, it wouldn't be penalized. I think that if it was good for leagues and partners and ratings and revenue, then it wouldn't be banned. It happens in some places. It happens in the UFC, in an MMA, and in boxing. That's how they sell fights, right? That's how they sell with press conferences and face-offs.
I feel like taunting, though, just comes from like a mean place. Like you could like give someone some like...
It is a mean place.
It's a mean place. You could
celebrating
joke with
is a happy place.
Yes, but you could like joke with someone, but like taunting is just, I feel like, mean.
You can do the exact same thing. You can express yourself the exact same way. But if it's directed at someone, you're getting teed up. It's going to be a taunting penalty, or it's a personal foul in the National Football League or college football. You can do the exact same thing if you're not looking at anyone from the other team. Do it to your own teammate, no problem. Do it to the sky or to the stands, no problem. If it's directed at an opponent, it's a problem. And last year, that became like a race thing between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. I remember that became this enormous divisive thing about the imagery of seeing Angel Reese, unapologetically authentic, as she described herself, doing that as she was towards the little Midwestern frail Caucasian girl. And I remember Dave Portnoy from Barstool going all in on what a classless piece of bleep he claimed Angel Reese was. He walked that back. He apologized later. He didn't know the whole context of the story. That was something that Caitlin Clark did herself. And also, he recognized that maybe he was quick to be judgmental. We all learn in times like that. We all learn that, maybe just maybe our first reaction and instinct needs to be researched a little bit before we share those words or thoughts or things out loud, or even feelings, to be honest with you. But take a listen, because Angel Reese, this is a matchup. First of all, I love the fact that women's basketball leads off the show on ESPN national radio, on ESPN regional radio, on ESPN television. I love that women's basketball is leading off television, podcast, small form content, radio, streaming in its various forms. Like, just let's pause for a second to identify the fact that this is an unusual instance. This is not the norm.
This is unusual.
This is a man biting a dog. It's not a dog biting a man.
I'm pausing. Yeah. I'm recognizing that this is a big day.
It is. It is. It's unusual, to say the very least. Take a listen to Miss Angel Reese, the defending national champion, on Sunday, and what she had to say before the rematch.
It's fun. I have somebody to go back and forth with. A lot of times some players don't even say anything back, so it's no fun. But I know me and Kayla will go at it, if anything, just out of competition, though. She wants to win. I want to win. And we're both just two great players that want to compete.
There you have it. On the rivalry, she says, we're just two great players that want to compete. And at the end of the day, every story needs a hero and a villain. Mm-hmm. Star Wars needed a hero. The Bible, every great story needs a hero and a villain. And so it's pretty obvious who wanted or was willing to play the villain. C-Cat, you're a big wrestling dork. The baby face and the heel, right? Isn't that the wrestling dynamic?
It's natural, yes.
So there's the good guy, the hero. He's the baby face. And then the heel's the bad guy that comes in after and the whole place boos.
To get as much of a reaction as possible, you want the crowd to boo you relentlessly.
Got it. I made the choice when I started doing this show, because I was doing this right after the legendary Love Doctors, that I was going to be the bad guy. The phrase, say goodnight to the bad guy. Mm-hmm. I chose, I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to be the heel for a couple of reasons. And man, it's worked out really, really well. Like, it's paid every bill for the last quarter century in my entire life. So being the bad guy has its merits, being the villain has its merits. It does. And Angel Reese, happy to do that. On Caitlin Clark, personally, Angel Reese had this to say.
Obviously, people don't understand, like, they think it's personal. But when I get between the lines, if friends or anything, if my teammate right here went to play for another team, I'm going to be competitive. I'm going to talk trash to her just because I'm super competitive, and that's what we do. But off the court, we're going to kick in and have fun. So I think that's a part of the game. And just trying to normalize, like, trash talking is okay, but not taking it personal off the court. And obviously, that has become a thing, and people are just trying to make it seem like it's something. But I love Caitlin, and I love her game, and I admire everything she's done.
So here she is saying, yeah, I'm the villain. I play that role. And on the court, we talk the trash. But off the court, let's be real. Caitlin Clark's a decent woman, and she's a great player. And we get along just fine. But I will say this, because we had the benefit of seeing the video. Well, I don't know if you guys actually watched it, but I asked you to. I did, and I don't know if you at home or driving, wherever you may be listening to the show, saw the video. But as Angel Reese at the end spoke about loving Caitlin Clark, etc., what did you see the video?
Yeah, she was smiling throughout that entire video.
Okay.
That clip. Yeah.
Did you notice anything, pick up anything?
No.
She was doing a very fluttery, rapid blink. She was rapidly blinking on how much she respected her. I love everything about her game. She was blinking very rapid, hard on that, which would tell nonverbal experts that there's a little something more to that, that it may not be completely truthful. That there may not be, she may not be telling the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth in an instance.
Maybe she just didn't want to say too much. Like if she made, she was
speaking, Angel Reese?
She was just
don't want to say too much?
She was just speaking really fast. And she's like, this is like the perfect answer to say this so no one can twist my words around. And
I like this girl. I like this girl. She has been unapologetically authentic. She has not been afraid to be anything other than what and who she is. So I'm a fan of Angel Reese. But then Caitlin Clark, she spoke before the game on the rivalry itself. Take a listen.
For me, anytime you go up against somebody that's super competitive and, you know, has that same drive and will to win, that's what you love. That's what competitors love. These type of games is what makes our game so great. It's what people want to turn on the TV and watch.
Heroes and villains. You could have great players, but if we don't have a hero, don't have a villain, I don't know if it's as interesting to the masses. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark's been the hero of the season for many reasons. And Angel Reese chose to play the villain, so it worked out perfectly that they would meet in a game to go to the Final Four that would be isolated Monday night, nothing else happening in college basketball on either side, men's or women's. So they had the spotlight. They got to own the night. But don't lose for a second the fact that this is beyond basketball and skills. This is about the perceived hero and the perceived villain and the personalities that elevated this game into being an event. Did you watch any of the actual game, Tina?
I did see the first half. I watched the first half, and it was exciting. Like, I have never...
You got into it.
I've never made it a point to, like, actually sit down. Like, I was sitting on the couch watching the TV before the game even started. Like, I was pumped for this game. Because it was an event.
Right.
And there was just so much excitement around it, and I knew it was going to be a great game.
See, Kat? You watched the game.
Yeah, had it on with no sound on below on the smaller screen, but I watched the full game, yeah.
Why with no sound on?
You can't really watch wrestling with no sound on because the promos are so audio-based.
Multitasking.
Yeah, right. So I was watching both.
I wonder what percentage of those watching the game were sharing the screen with wrestling.
More than you would think. It's the road to WrestleMania, so it's the most important
one. Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of WrestleMania people were like, I'm going to be all in on that. I think a lot of the basketball game people are like, I'm going to be all in on that. Mm-hmm. You may have been in the minority of people that were like, I'm going to go women's basketball and the WWE,
yeah.
Road to WrestleMania. You may have been the minority of splitting. It may have been you and Pat McAfee.
He was on commentary for
Correct.
Raw, so he probably had it on the corner, yeah. So he didn't count in the ratings, but he had it on his phone.
In his monitor, he probably had it there in the corner. Meanwhile, it's game time. And this lead went back and forth early on. Iowa got ahead pretty early, pretty big. LSU came right back. Ryan Rucco was on the call. And as you may have known by now, Caitlin Clark, she had a night. She was going off, particularly from three-point land. In fact, here's the call and how far this game being played in Albany, New York, how far Rucco believes she may have been from the basket itself.
Here we go. Second half action in Albany. A trip to the Final Four at stake. Clark is trying to redirect a pass. Clark, oh my, from Schenectady.
How far is Schenectady from Albany? I know.
Very far.
You say very far. See, Kat, how far? How far is that?
I'm going to agree with Tina. I think very far is a good answer.
Yeah, it's not. It's not very far. It's like 15 minutes. But here's the thing. Ryan Ruckel, that's a very regional reference to make. He didn't say from the Statue of Liberty. He didn't say from Midtown Manhattan. Yeah. He said from Schenectady. And I don't know how many Americans watching this had any idea what Schenectady is, let alone where it is. Schenectady is a city that is neighboring of Albany, New York.
Yeah, Ruco like has broadcast in New York a bunch, so he's well versed in New York geography, but the rest of the nation probably not.
No.
Yeah, I don't know how many people knew what a Schenectady was, let alone where it was. But then she's doing what she does, and that is filling it up. Take a listen one more time.
Here's Clark. Clark pulls up another deep one. He's good. She's simply ridiculous.
She is ridiculous. You know why it's special last night? Because it's all of the eyes. It's that opponent. It's that villain. And in that moment, you said, you know what? I'll just do what I do. Like, generally speaking, those are the moments in which you see college athletes struggle a little bit. Struggle a little bit because they're being targeted. Struggle a little bit because the moment is big. Kaylin Clark was like, I'll just go for 41 points. I'll just put this in your eye hole. Kapow. I'm ridiculous. Now I'm in Schenectady. Kapow. And then, yeah, I'll go for 41 and we'll win this game going away. Take a listen because Iowa, on the final call, gets revenge on LSU.
In a rematch with LSU, Clark evades. That will do it. This time, it's Iowa. The Hawkeyes are headed back to the Final Four. Galactic greatness from Kaitlin Clark on display yet again.
Yeah, doing it in the biggest moment with all of the attention and all of the hype and that villain and that team that last year, it means a little bit more. She didn't just do this, meaning Kaitlin Clark. She did this in what would have been the easiest location to have a letdown.
Yeah, last year, a game between these two teams in the national championship, LSU kind of pulled away late. The same thing that Iowa did last night.
I don't remember.
Yeah, they pulled away late. It really wasn't a last 3-minute game. Like it was.
I was watching wrestling.
Oh, that was a game. So Iowa was significantly worse than LSU last year. For them to take that 2 steps forward to be significantly better than LSU, especially in that third quarter and second half, it meant a lot about Kaitlin Clark.
Yeah, I was watching Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan so in the Pontiac Silverdome, WrestleMania 2. So I didn't see the second half of the women's college game last year.
I just support women's sports a lot more, that's all.
That a boy. That a boy. Listen, as interesting as the game was, we all know that we wanted to hear what these girls, young women, had to say after the game. And it's a reminder that as much as, you know, they speak to the media and manipulate social media and develop brands and play roles, we're still talking about, you know, young women, like Britney Spears saying, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman. There's that range in between. Remember that song Britney did? I'm not a girl, not yet a woman. I'm not a girl. These are young women. These are college kids. And in that, there are moments that get real. For example, LSU teammate of one Angel Reese, Floja Johnson, Johnson, on the criticism of her teammate. Listen to her defend Angel Reese and tell you some things maybe you didn't know.
Let me tell you something. Everybody can have their opinion on Angel Reese, but y'all don't know her.
Put your hand up.
Like, y'all don't know Angel Reese. I know Angel Reese. I know the real Angel Reese. And the person I see every day is a strong person. Is a caring, loving person, bro. The crown she wears is heavy, bro. She's the type of teammate that's going to make you believe in yourself. The leap that I took from my freshman to sophomore year, Angel gave me that confidence to go be a dog. Playing next to a dog every day. And, you know, just to see how the media ridicule her. Went through our problems, but like, this is my sister right here. And I'm so proud of her. Like, the media, y'all, how they like to twist and call it a villain and all of that, y'all don't know Angel, bro. And I'm just happy that I get to play with her. I get to be around her presence. Her energy is different. Like, she just make me a better player. She make me a better player, and that's what great players do.
All right, so that's great work by a teammate to defend a teammate who's sobbing. You hear the sniffling. Mm-hmm. I'm going to disagree vehemently about some of the things she said about what the media did and also the idea of being the villain. She chose to play the villain. Some people love to and volunteer to and want to, and other people are reluctant because they're not built for that. LeBron James is someone, when he came to Miami, suddenly realized, all right, well, I'm going to have to play the villain. I have to embrace this role. You know the meme or the picture of the mask and it's smiling, but then behind the mask is somebody crying?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. That was kind of LeBron playing the villain role. It sounds now in this moment that that's a little bit, I mean, literally and figuratively of Angel Reese. She had a moment post-game, and you hear her sobbing while their teammate speaks that way. Had LSU won the game, she's still sniffling and crying? Had she? I mean, is she still that way? Had they lost the game?
I would assume not, no.
So I don't like that. I don't. If that's the case, I don't like that. You know, I would have loved for them to have won the game and for her to show that emotion. Because then what that says is, I'm not sad that that girl got me. I'm not sad that we couldn't defend it. I'm sad because I'm letting out the emotion of playing this role and being the bad guy and the villain. And maybe, hopefully, y'all understand that I'm a real person with real feelings. Make sense?
Sometimes when your feelings get hurt, you kind of spiral and hit on everything that's making you sad. And that was one of the things. She obviously wished she won the game, wished she played better, wished she didn't get hurt earlier in the game. And she also wishes that her life would be a little bit easier in the past 12 months, I guess, is what she was getting at.
Angel Reese, I've learned to love this girl. I didn't know much about her until last year in the Final Four. And then I was like, ooh, this young lady either really is does not give a bleep, or she's doing a real good job of making it seem that way. But seeing her kind of sobbing, I would have liked to have seen that in a win or not see that in a loss. And I get that the emotion adds up. But then Angel Reese herself spoke. She spoke on some of the abuse that she takes. She opened up.
I don't really get to stand up for myself. I mean, I have great teammates. I have a great support system. I got my hometown. I got my family that stands up for me. I don't really get to speak out on things just because I just try to ignore and I just try to stand strong.
I think that some of that emotion comes from, listen, you know, this is exhausting, playing this role, doing this, having to be this way. But again, is it that way if they win the game? I'm not sure. And then she continued on. Take a listen as she opens up a little bit more from the heart.
And I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want to always just know, like, I'm still a human. Like, all this has happened since I won the national championship. And I said the other day, I haven't had peace since then. And it sucks, but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, no, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated, staying who you are, staying 10 toes, don't back down, and just be confident.
And a final sniff. Did she say that she has not been happy since she won the national championship? Is that what she said?
Pretty much, yeah. I've been in the dirt. It's been
tough. Did she literally say, since won the national, I haven't been happy since?
That's what she said, yes.
Those were her words. I want to make sure I heard that right. That's a damn shame, if in fact that is the case. That's a damn shame. With that said, she talked in there about being sexualized. And I know people got to Twitter and they said, really? How about this video she posted showing of her getting a Brazilian wax? Really, what about this video that she showed that she posted with her trying on tiny dresses? that is her choosing herself when and how she chooses to sexualize.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you're entitled to sexualize her as well. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Because I am displaying as I so choose doesn't mean you have the right to how you so choose. You hate to see a young woman after a game that gave so many people so much joy and so much interest to show that maybe, just maybe, it's just too much playing the role. We've lauded her and applauded her so much for being unapologetically authentic. She became a cultural hero, you understand. She became a cultural hero. She became a strong black woman, unapologetically authentic. Like it, I don't care. Like it, good come, doesn't matter to me. And a lot of people rallied behind and in defense of her. You know, remember after those Dave Portnoy, president of Barstool, comments last year, it became a very racial issue. She did, because America, to some degree, did not like seeing her do that to Caitlin Clark, but probably wouldn't have had as much a problem had the roles been reversed. And here she is exhausted. This young woman needs a little time off, and she needs to settle into just not being the villain, not being the bad guy, but just whatever it is that can make her be happy. I bet she's happier in the year after the loss than she was in the year after the win. As crazy and upside down as that sounds.
It sounds crazy, but I was talking to one of my friends the other day and how we sometimes look at athletes and celebrities, like those that are around like our same age, like, I wish I was them. Like, I wish I was, you know, thriving and in their position. And then we don't look at the other side of like, everything that, like, are they happy? Yeah. Like, she's just in the spotlight always in a positive way, in a negative way, and how much actually we don't see when you are in the spotlight and, say, a celebrity or a thriving student athlete. And we don't think about that. We think about Angel Reese as this, you know, phenomenal basketball player who, again, was like the face last year of the women's tournament. And again, she's admitting, like, I haven't been happy though since that win.
Well, the you say the face of the women's tournament, the I can't see your face.
Yes.
Because she was doing the John Cena. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't see your face.
Yeah, that's also true. I think after you win a national championship, now there is only true goal. Before you win a national championship, you can say it's championship or bust, but after you win one and you're trying to go back-to-back, mm-hmm. you know how great that felt, and truly anything below that will pale in comparison. Yeah. So you put up with the online hate she'll get from half of the crowd, mm-hmm. the nonsense that she probably doesn't like, if it means at the end of the road there's a pot of gold of being a national championship. It's all worth it.
There are villain bad guys, and there are reluctant villain/bad guys. LeBron James did not want to be the villain. He did not want to be the bad guy. Came to Miami, America turned, he had to become it, so he put on the meme. He put the smiling face in front, and he was actually crying behind it. And you get the feeling that for Angel Reese, what we've seen and heard from her a lot of this past year and in last year's final isn't really who she is and isn't really who she wants to be. That's the role that she's playing. And by the way, not being true to yourself is exhausting, mm-hmm. not being authentic. So maybe now we have the unapologetically authentic Angel Reese. Let's just hope the kid is happy. That's all we'll hope for. Real quick, meanwhile, UConn advanced to face Iowa. Take a listen last night as that game wound down.
And UConn knocks out a number one seed to head back to the Final Four.
Post game, Gino Auriemma, legendary head coach at UConn. He said that he hopes it was personal last night. He hopes it was personal for Caitlin Clark in Utah, in particular against an LSU team. Listen why.
I hope Caitlin Clark had a personal agenda against LSU. And I know there's nothing personal between me and her, so I don't need to be seeing her drop 50 on us next weekend, you know? So I love her. I think she's the best player. Forget I ever said Paige is the best player in the country. I think she's the best player of all time. I don't know whoever said that I said that Paige is the best player in the country.
Forget that I said my player was better. She's not. That girl over there, she's the best player. Please go easy on us. Yeah. Which is very funny.
Yes.
Very funny. Speaking of the NCAA tournament and March Madnesses and Final Fours, it's time for Remember When, presented by Brain Matters Research. Do you remember this? I do. It was 39 years ago, last night.
Do you remember?
Jump ball situation, the ball would go to Villanova.
It was truly the first bonding moment between myself and my middle sister. We fought, we argued, we didn't get along in any way. We literally and physically and figuratively fought and argued. But we bonded on that, Tina. As a little kid and a sister who loved basketball, watching the second half of that game, rooting for the underdog, rooting for Villanova. That's why I learned to root for the dog, to root for the underdog, the upset. And by the way, that ball was inbounded to a friend of mine. Years later, became a friend of mine, Dwayne McClain.
Oh.
Who believed he traveled on the play. He was very grateful to learn that the game was over. That was, remember when? It was on last night in 1985, 39 years ago. Presented by Brain Matters Research, making your memories matter. Remember, memory diseases can occur 15, even 20 years before you might have symptoms that arrive. If you're 50 and over, get a free, no cost to you whatsoever, memory screening, a quick, easy memory screening. If you're not 50 and over, tell the people you know and love to. They're going to help significantly a lot of people when it comes to Alzheimer's, when it comes to dementia, its various forms. There's two new FDA-approved treatments that show remarkable abilities. So what you're going to do is, you're going to go online to memoryscreeningsflorida.com. Memoryscreeningsflorida.com. Not only is nothing at any cost to you that they do, but also you'll be compensated for your time and your travel if you participate in the study. Keep your independence. The people you love, please let them keep their independence and most of all their memories and sense of self. Go to memoryscreeningsflorida.com for more details. Coming up next, CCAC could not have been more wrong. Who and what was he wrong about this time? We will find out coming up next. First, though, Tina, Palm Beach Zoo, you said you went to spend time with a rodent yesterday. Details, please.
I went and met Zeus, the largest rodent in the world, a capybara.
That thing was terrifying.
The Palm Beach Zoo. He was the sweetest ever, though.
Terrifying.
You could even go meet Zeus yourself if you go to palmbeachzoo.org/animal encounters. They have so many different animal encounters. There's koalas, there's panthers, there's again the capybara, and so much more. Check out the Palm Beach Zoo. And again, I got to feed him, which is a part of like the training process. Like, I got to help out where he needs a physical exam, so I'm helping the animals. Whoa. When you go there.
What kind of exam?
He gets like if they were to draw blood, like we're helping the trainers. So it's a really unique experience. You're learning all about them and these animals that you won't ever.
Good for you, T.
I know. It was so fun. And you can check out that story again at ESPN West Palm Play. And we've got more coming.
On our YouTube channel.
On our YouTube channel,
right.
Yes.
So go to YouTube. And by the way, you should be, because we have the single probably largest announcement in the history of this show coming up here shortly. So you're going to want to be watching. I know you're listening, a lot of you, and I know some of you are watching, but definitely open up ESPN West Palm on YouTube. That's our new play channel. It's free. Hit subscribe, and you can watch the show and all of our content in its various forms as it is and shall come. Coming up next, CCAC could not have been more wrong, and he knows exactly why, even before I say anything, don't you?
Yeah, similar to how you were wrong last year, so we share that in common now.
What was I wrong about last year?
We'll learn after this.
Interesting. Interesting. We will find out next. And that major, significant, I think you said monumental announcement.
All caps.
And yeah. Hey, we got a lot of viewers. People want to know.
Yeah. No, if you're watching on YouTube, great. We appreciate that. We're not going to make you wait till 5:55 to tell you. We will tell you much prior to that what's going on so we have time to discuss it in the process. But it is a very important episode of the Home Team on ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks. You're listening to Josh Cohen and the Home Team, presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. It's a Twin Peaks Tuesday. Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge for eats, drinks, and scenic views. This is ESPN 106.3.
Home Team for the ride home, a tradition unlike any other on a day that will be unlike any other in the history of this show. And we'll explain to you why that is in, let's do it just as we start the cocktail hour.
Okay.
When we get in the cocktail hour, I will explain why this announcement is CCAT dubbed it monumental, and also why it is that it need be shared today. The best way, however, to see us as we make this announcement and explain why today is such an enormous day is to go onto our YouTube page. It's ESPN West Palm on YouTube. We call it ESPN West Palm Play. So just punch in ESPN West Palm and click the link. The show is live. You see Tina, CK, and myself side by side on screen. And hit subscribe, by the way, while you are there. Coming up in just a second, CK could not have been more wrong. I kind of liked his methodology, and then his results were absolutely horrific. But I bought into what he said when he said it. And yes, it has to do with the Final Four. We'll tell you what that is in just a sec. We'll solve that home team mystery. But first, though, Tina will solve the mystery of why she is always so energetic and why she is always so sharp first thing in the morning. And I think that's because of a can of Celsius.
That's exactly why I am. All the good vibes, all the positivity comes from the Celsius that I have at 5 a.m. every day.
You and me both, kid.
I love it. They've got so many new vibes out that you can get at any of your local retailers. They even have on-the-go powder sticks, which are great for me because I love to take them in my bag if I've got an event that day. Whatever I've got going on, if I'm going to the beach, I can just pop a Celsius on-the-go packet in my water, shake it up, good to go. All the good vibes, all the great energy, 10 calories, 7 essential vitamins, Celsius essential energy drink.
Thank you, T. C-Cat could not have been more wrong. What exactly was he wrong about? C-Cat, you want to make your confession? You want me to out you?
I had one specific play, essentially, if you're putting money in this tournament at all. I said one thing I am confident in is that Texas Tech was going to beat NC State in the first round.
In the first round. He said NC State out immediately. You said tired legs. You said they had to play that entire ACC tournament, yep, and run the table, and they'd lost 5 of 6. There's no way they got past the first round matchup.
Like, that is their national championship, winning that tournament.
Yeah.
Win after win after win. I thought there's no way they can keep up in the tournament.
So in that game, there were 64 teams in, you know, still in play. And now there's 4 teams in play. 60 are gone, and NC State, of course, is one of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It happens, brother. It happens. You said it happened to me last year, and I'm trying to figure out which way, because I'm wrong about a lot of stuff. So which prediction on the tournament did I make?
Just go on 95, go south for about 30 minutes. You find the FAU Owls. You told me FAU done round one. That's it. So
yeah. When?
Before the tournament.
That's not true.
Last year?
Yeah, we can go back and look at the bracket. Yeah.
I said FAU wouldn't win their first round game?
Yes.
I don't remember that. I remember then, I got the social media, I got screenshots of the tweets that say, I can't believe I'm going to say this. They're going to beat Tennessee. They're going to be a Final Four team. You remember that? You were on the air when I was making that proclamation.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and people thought I was crazy. I just saw a team a year ago that just, it almost seemed like a team of destiny. Breaks were going their way, balls were bouncing their way, etc. And with that said, they entered the tournament more wins than any other team in the nation. C-Cat watched zero college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did that thing that we do when we haven't actually participated, and that is you find an angle. And yep, the angle he found was, they're not good. They had 14 losses. They lost 5 of 6. They're in the they run the table. Miracle 3 to force overtime against Virginia. They don't belong here. They can't advance. And then sure enough, the basketball gods said,
watch this.
Yeah. Hold my beer, C-Cat. Mm-hmm. Watch what happens. Yeah, I don't think anybody believed NC State would get to the Final Four.
No,
I don't think NC State believed they would get to the Final Four.
I'm glad we did. I think a good Final Four has one Cinderella. Just one of them. At least you have that David versus Goliath still going through the tournament.
Haven't been many double-digit seeds to be in the Final Four. Haven't been many ever, and they are there as an 11 seed. So it is unlikely, to say the very least. That was a little home team mystery that we solved right quick. And today it was presented by F45. Tina gets up early. She does 45 minutes of functional movement. That's why she's all swole and yoked. And what else you got?
There's no mystery.
Swole and yoked? Are you swole and yoked? Are you shredded?
You can be the judge.
Are you shredded
of that.
Like Taco Bell lettuce?
I don't think I'm shredded.
What are you?
But you can.
Swole?
I'm fit.
Cake?
I'm fit.
Fit. You are definitely fit.
I'm fit.
You are fit.
And there's no mystery that if you want to see results, go to F45. 45-minute workouts. Fast, fun, Someone is there to modify if you need it. You've got a motivating group of people around you. F45 West Palm Beach has an event coming up that's free next Saturday at Palm Beach Central High School. It's a track event. If you would like to see more info on that, go to F45 West Palm Beach Instagram or at F45 Palm Beach Gardens. They've got a 7-day trial. F45training.com or reach out to me on Instagram, Tina Home Team, and I can give you all the details about F45 Palm Beach Gardens and F45 West Palm Beach, my spots.
NC State, they advanced in both the men's and women's brackets to the Final Four.
Crazy.
Haven't been to the Final Four on the men's side since 1983 with Jimmy V running around trying to find someone to hug. On the women's side, I think it was like 1997. So it's a good time to be NC State hoops. We don't need to hear. Actually, you know what? Let's take a quick listen. This is them actually Sunday closing it out in the upset over Duke. Over Duke, mind you, to make the Final Four.
Get it in. And it's over. This is what dreams are made of. An unlikely run to the Final Four for NC State. Echoes of 1983. And the cardiac pack.
And they got a star player in DJ Burns who does not look like a fit college basketball player. He looks like a semi-fit college football player, per se. But man, he had a game on Sunday against Duke. Take a listen.
2 minutes left.
Got to look ahead. They got somebody open if they want.
It's Burns. Floats it up and in! It's banger after banger for DJ Burns.
Banger after banger for DJ Burns. He's a big boy.
Big boy.
And by that, I mean he's backing everybody down, and he is the immovable object. He is a large young man. Take a listen to Shannon Sharp and Stephen A. Smith. They say this young man, forget about basketball. He might wind up, could wind up, should wind up elsewhere. Listen.
Hey, Stephen A.,
yep.
If the NBA doesn't work out for DJ Horn, guess what? Hey, get a kick slide. I know some people that, hey, I call Willie Anderson. He could work with you. You could be a tackle.
Oh, you know, yeah, hey, how about that?
There have been a lot of guys. There have been a lot of basketball players that transitioned to the NFL and made great careers.
That's okay, right. I'm not ruling that out for him.
Not at all.
You're right.
Antonio Gates comes to mind.
Yeah.
Gonzalez Tony comes to mind. There are others that come to mind.
Jimmy Graham, maybe.
Jimmy Graham comes to mind. That's a great point. Danny Ainge actually went from football to basketball. He did the reverse. This kid is a large human being. But they're talking about him like he came out of nowhere. I saw that he was the third ranked prospect in high school out of South Carolina behind Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Like it was Zion 1 and he was number 3.
He's been on the map.
So he doesn't look the part. And by the way, watching him get up and down the court, he kind of shuffles his feet. Mm-hmm. You notice it. He doesn't seem like someone who's really running.
And like his game, he has a very soft touch. Like
he has incredible touch.
He hit shots from like 7 feet away. Like that's how he's like kind of carrying the team.
He's got soft touch, soft hands, finesse for a big boy. And he's also tough to get close to because he's got a little head and a wide body. He's like wide and he's big. Mm-hmm. So he's almost insulated. You know what I'm saying? Tini's created like an arc around himself. All right. So NC State, Final Four. They will, of course, play Purdue. On the other side, you've got Alabama and UConn. Well, Duke's out. We know they're fans and how people feel about Duke. But listen to Danny Hurley, defending national champion coach at UConn, as he talks about their own fan base. Listen.
And our fan base, again, is obnoxious as on social. So everyone
our fan base.
Us. it was a chance to celebrate with them because, you know, our fan base and our organization right now, it's an us against the world of college basketball. And I wanted to celebrate with them a little bit.
I love that. It's us against the world. It's us against the world. We saw that with Michigan football. That was their cry. It's us against the world. It's this Michael Jordan kind of mentality. If everybody hates us, we don't need you. But bottom line is it's not you against the world. You're UConn. You've won several of these, including last year's. You're winning games this year in the tournament by an average of 28 points. This mentality doesn't apply always.
Right. If you're not in a spot
you
where
can claim it does.
Right. NC State's in a spot where no one thinks they're going to win or nobody thought they would win when the tournament started, of course. When you are that top dog.
When you
dog,
say no one, you mean you because you're a no one.
Yeah. When you're the top dog, it's no one wants us to win. That's why we're against the world.
I get it. Yeah. And you're right. Their fan base is obnoxious, but they're not nearly as bad as Duke. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I would say so, just because most Duke fans aren't like have any connection to the school other than watching on TV. Yeah.
Notice that? All right. Coming up next, we count down to Sunfest. 31 days until 40 years of Music on the Waterfront. Plus, we've got a big time college superstar taking shots at a city in which the games are being played, and then the city fired back. You'll hear exactly what that was coming up. And hopefully you're watching right now on YouTube as we are inching closer and closer to the biggest announcement in the history of this show, which we'll make on the air, but you might want to watch it on our ESPN West Palm YouTube channel, ESPN West Palm Play, where you can stream right now and watch and join the chat. There's a lot of chat going on, I saw.
Active chat day.
Active chat day. Mm-hmm. And are you replying? Are you getting back with all them?
No, focused on the show.
Attaboy. Meanwhile, coming up on May the 3rd through the 5th, it is Miami's 2024 Formula One Crypto.com.
Oh, I can't wait.
Miami Grand Prix. What's going on?
Nothing.
The 2024 Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix. May 3rd through the 5th. Are you going back?
I would love to go back.
Balling last year. 3-day event filled with art, music, world-class cuisine, and 3 days of the greatest racing in the world. This season's first sprint race in the Americas. Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, and all the greats battling out in Miami. Plus, you can choose from a variety of ticketing options. There's high-end hospitality. There's watch it from cabanas. There's watch it from suites. There's watch it from grandstands. In the center of it all, listen, you choose the passes you want to do. They start as low as $150. Join us for the 2024 Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix, May 3rd through 5th. It's a one-of-a-kind event showcasing the incredible sport of F1 and also reflects Miami's unique position as a global curator of culture. It's a celebrity scene and be seen. Aside from that, it's just a giant party. May 3rd through the 5th. Get your tickets now. F1MiamiGP.com. F1MiamiGP.com. Keep it locked. Text your friends. Call your people that were fans of this show from, 1999 straight through today. Because we are going to tell you some news coming up here shortly that, C-Cat said on our YouTube screen, on our YouTube play channel, is monumental. And I would agree with that. I'm not sure that's the term I'd use, but certainly monumental. Very, very, very important information. We'll share that with you shortly. Home team, ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks.
Listening to Josh Cohen and the Home Team, presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. It's a Twin Peaks Tuesday. Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge for eats, drinks, and scenic views. This is ESPN 106.3.
It is an announcement that we will share coming up in just a couple minutes and then get into it. Single biggest announcement, I would say, in the history of Josh Cohen and the Home Team. We'll explain what that is coming up. But right now, focus on this. That's Sum 41, former Sunfest artist, 2005, rocking the stage as we count down to Sunfest. And we are today 31 days away from Sunfest 40 years under the sun. Check out some of the headliners this year. Friday, it'll be Nelly, Shaggy, Billy Idol, The Fix. Saturday, Cole Swindell, Dylan Scott, The Revivalists. On Sunday, Revolution, Modest Yahoo, Third Eye Blind, Dashboard Confessional, and many more. C-Cat's all into Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
All into Sunday. VIP options, hospitality. I saw that there was a Palm Beach and South Florida resident discount, multi-day pass. It's the best value in music festival, period, barring none. Go to sunfest.com, sunfest.com, and join us 31 days away from 40 years under the sun along the West Palm Beach waterfront. Rebecca Lobo, who was a huge college basketball star back in the day. She was like the Caitlin Clark of the late 90s.
Okay.
She was on the call of the game last night from Albany, New York, where they were playing this game, and they're showing her parents and her family And here's her and Ryan Rucco on the call. Listen to what she says about the host city.
Big smile from Brent and Ann, Caitlin's brothers here as well, though she told us they've been reaching out to me, and I've told them, just go find something to do in Albany. I'm staying in my room and just waiting for the game.
By the way, good luck finding something to do in Albany.
Good luck finding something to do in Albany. That's kind of harsh. Kind of harsh. So then on the news in Albany, which, by the way, is the capital of New York State. You know that, right? It's a capital city.
Okay.
Of the entire state of New York. Here is one of the news anchors in Albany. Listen close. She fires a little shot in there back at Rebecca Lobo.
The number one thing that we really all learned from the past few days of March Madness in Albany is that a few small complaints from small people about Albany as a site for this tournament were completely unfounded. Just as superstars like Clark and Angel Reese shined on the big stage, so too did the city of Albany and the MVP Arena.
I lived a little bit in Albany. I spent a couple summers working in Albany when I was in college. There's plenty to do. Go drink at the Elbow Room. There's plenty to do in Albany. I mean, generally speaking, it's drinking at the Elbow Room. Why are you laughing? You been there?
I've been to Albany for one weekend, one Halloween weekend, and I think I did everything there was to do in Albany, which, like you said, it was drink.
It's a big drink in town, particularly for college kids. Anyway, have fun with that. Coming up when we return, we are going to get into the biggest announcement in the history of this show. And if you are not right now opening your YouTube, open it, put it on your TV screen if you're home, put it on your phone. Punch in ESPN West Palm. I want you to watch this announcement as we give it. Again, it's on our ESPN West Palm channel on YouTube. So open the YouTube app and you can watch along the way. Major, significant, as C-Cat said, the monumental announcement is next. And then also, Paul Pierce said, what about the, quote, white girls? How's that for a tease back to back? We'll do both of those next. It's the home team for the ride home on ESPN 106.3.